what I was like.
I think they tried it all the way over there. We thought his friends were gonna go out the forest and he'd be able to come, he'd be able to see him over there and he never saw anybody. And then he had a girlfriend that was going over there. Bring the May 10th, 2012 Municipal Code Enforcement Board meeting to order. And if we could start with the invocation, Giorgio, could you help us out with that?
Heavenly Father, we ask for your guidance tonight as we review the cases before us and that our decisions be just. Amen.
Amen. Rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Giorgio?
Here.
Mrs. Brown?
Here.
Mrs. Spockman?
Here.
Mrs. Wilson?
Here.
Mrs. Rusmayer?
Here.
Mr. Buckley?
Here.
We have a call.
Has anyone reviewed the minutes from the April meeting?
Make a motion that we accept them.
Motion made by Giorgio, do we have a second?
Oh.
Second.
Second by Donald, all in favor?
Aye.
Pass unanimous. Would you go ahead and swear in the officers of the city, please?
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
For the record, can you say who's here tonight?
For the record, I'd point out that Matt Lightfoot, Charles Rich, and Raymond Curry, they do.
Okay, and one more thing before we get started. If anybody has a cell phone with them this evening, if you could please either silence it or turn it off for the duration of the meeting. Chip, if we've got people that are here, we can start with them.
Yes, sir, please, the board will proceed with them first.
Okay.
Community board members, my name is Charles Rich. I'm with the city of Ocala. I'm a duly appointed code enforcement manager. I'm certified by the Florida Association of Code Enforcement and certified in all four levels of training. I have been your code enforcement manager for 4 years. I have 30 years of law enforcement experience. I'll be presenting your cases this evening. But please, the board, we would go on your agenda to the last page under petitions. COM 110556, the city of Ocala versus Ocala Trophy Limited Partnership, care of Mary Baker. A case location of the city of Ocala, 4700 block of Southwest 49th Road. As part of your presentation, we've placed in a copy of the petition that they have submitted, a copy of the city's case costs, and a copy of photographs of the location. To refresh your memory, when this was brought before the board.
It's the last page of the petition. COM 110558. Yeah.
Yeah, I apologize. This was a problem that Officer Dwayne Thomas first noticed on 4/2011. It took quite a bit of work for them to bring it into compliance. In the meantime, it was still a problem out there.
What's the city's recommendation?
Staff recommendation be consistent with what the board has previously done, a fine reduction to $5,000 and case costs. That's consistent with what the board has been doing. They would like to testify on their behalf this evening. That would give them about $1,200 discount off of the fine, and they've already paid the cost of prosecution, administrative costs in the case. So,
all right.
But bring them forward now?
Yes, if you could please. Hi, may you be sworn in, please?
I'm sorry, for him. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the whole truth?
Yes.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Laura Burns. I work for Century Management, address 1928 Salk Avenue, Tavares, Florida.
Thank you.
Okay.
I stood before you for the first time ever for code enforcement about back in October of last year regarding the suit. At the time, we did what I was instructed to do is to get those buildings demolished, to cut 300 feet within an occupied building, which was the apartment building, and all the way up to the barn area and out. We completed all that within the timeframe that the, before Dave. I'm unaware of any other area that wasn't taken care of that we were instructed. I mean, I walked that area with the officer.
I think the non-compliance arose from the structure, not necessarily the...
The grass.
Because the board had ordered the structure being demolished.
The both structures, two structures.
So you're saying that you had those demolished within the timeframe, both structures?
Yes.
Do we...
No.
I
can...
Actually, the dates are on their own paperwork.
Right, the dates were held up and the city did know about that because it was an inspected report. And that was holding it up.
What was holding it up now?
The asbestos report, the time it took the company to get out there and get that report and get it back to you.
On the, also on your petition paperwork, it shows their time.
What was the delay because of the asbestos inspection?
First, when we first hired the contractor, and when I came even to this board, we were unaware that we needed an asbestos inspection. When we found out, we immediately contracted with TBO3. It was them who delayed, first of all, they couldn't find the site, and then finally when I got them there, they did the report, turned it into the city, gave me a copy.
So it looks to me like it's 30 days.
It was out of our control at that time.
Okay, what I'm seeing is like on October 18th, you notified the building needed an asbestos inspection, and you contacted them to get the inspection, and then on November 11th, submitted the report to the property owner. And so you tell us that it was okay to proceed with the demolition. So it's about 30 days, a little less than that, but so the asbestos inspection.
I make a motion we accept the petition.
We don't know what she's asking for.
Right.
Well, I certainly would like it less than $5,000. I understand the cost the city has incurred. That's not even in question. But we have done.
May I inquire?
Yep.
Did you also go over the property?
Take over the property. I'm just representing City of Ocala.
When did they take over the property? When did they purchase the property? Our contention is that this building was not in compliance, should have been taken down years ago. Until we brought it to their attention that transients were living there and lighting fires that were creating problems for the city, it was not on the radar. Now, I would leave it to this board to make whatever decision. The city would like to recover costs, but we also have the other problem of this building being a lighted building in this area for a period of years without it being taken care of until the neighbors start complaining. Even our department thought initially that because the county, I'm assuming the county borders this property, the county, literally Marion County, and then this property is in the city, as I was explained to me a year ago.
The
portion we let this board make its best decision, but we're basing our facts on, some punitive effort because it had been left there and left there for such a long period of time.
Why wasn't it taken care of in April when it was initially brought to your attention that it was?
It was not brought to my attention at that time. I am not a Ocala Trophy. I am representative and I did not get involved until the end of September.
Right, but Ocala Trophy was on notice in April. So why didn't they take care of it then?
I'm sorry, but I can't answer at that time. But been notified of anything that code enforcement has wanted, I have complied. And I'm asking the board also if I could be made contact, an additional contact
on Ocala Trophy case, so this will not happen again, and it will be taken care of.
Yeah, I don't think we can do that, because we could only,
The landowner.
Contact the landowner.
Who's Art Swanson? He was notified in September.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew what was going on in September, which is a month before the initial, the code board meeting, so.
Correct. At the end of September, we had an appointment with, Officer Thomas, and we toured the property and started action before I even came before the board.
Okay, what are you asking for? What do you want as a result of this petition? You can't speak unless you're sworn in. You can come up.
Please raise your right hand.
Yes.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you give will be the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Art Swanson, Century Management. I'm the District Vice President, for Century Management, 1928 Salk Avenue. I understand that you all have the facts in front of you. You know, the property owner, as well as Century Management, truly believe that this property was brought into compliance from your directive of October. And we apologize if there was any misunderstandings, but we truly believe that better communications between all parties could have probably solved a lot of these issues. But in fact, I understood that the reason for the heavy fine was due to the mowing issue and not the building, when I read the latest communication that we had. And again, the property owner and Century Management certainly appreciate what code enforcement does with the city. But again, we truly believe that there was a misunderstanding here, and based on the facts that you have, Century Management and the property owner are hoping that you have within your power to eliminate the debt that is showing on this property. When they were issued a notice that they owed $213 administrative fees, that was immediately paid when they received it. And we have instituted clear communications with the owner and intend to monitor the property a lot closer in the future to make sure that that there's no misunderstanding when things get out of hand.
Okay, so what is it that you're asking for in regards to this petition?
We're asking an elimination of the debt that's currently showing on the property.
Okay, well, you understand we're probably not going to entertain doing away with the cost the city's incurred.
Well, we understand the city had a cost about $1,000.
It's $1,881.36.
Somewhere in that range, yes.
Chip, did you have something?
That's because the city went and cut the property. I think that what we're losing here is everybody's concentrating on a September date and then the hearing in October with the compliance in November. The case was started in April mm-hmm. of 2011. So we didn't have to, the gap is between April and September where we couldn't get the property taken care of, properly remediated. I'm fine with whatever the board decides in here. Just want to straighten out the record. Because
okay.
No,
so the 124 days.
October, it wasn't September, October.
The 124 days of non-compliance started when? In April or in?
Well, that's when we first started the case. But we brought them to the board. In per chapter 162, we noticed the property owner for a statute. We noticed the property owner is listed in the tax. The record, the property appraiser's office, they can put another name in there if they would like, or they can put another name with our office, but we still have to notice the person by law that's in the property tax record.
We understand that, and as I say, when we met, I met personally with Dwayne and Laura, and Laura was assigned to the property. And Dwayne was very appreciative of the fact that we had established a working relationship, and he said, finally, he's got somebody that he can go to locally, that if there are problems, that we can take care of that. So we, you know, in working with him, you know, and communicating with him on the timeline that you see here, truly believe that we were meeting the directive that this board gave us back in October. I agree, maybe there was something before us, But again, our involvement was after the fact.
Yeah, you would know for sure if you call for reinspection that they come back and they tell you if you're in full compliance or not.
Mm-hmm. That looks like it happened in January.
Yeah.
It looks like they're only six, like, they were given 30 days in October.
That gives them November 13th.
Right, and they were cleared on January 23rd, which is roughly 60 days.
See, the delay was due to they were now required to have an asbestos, and we didn't know that.
They
would have given them more time.
If they would have started in April when they were initially noticed the property owners, then they wouldn't have had any of this problem.
Well, I don't know.
Could have been, would have been.
I tell you, I'm uncomfortable with, you set a set number of days, and that's fine, but I'm uncomfortable with the notion of punishing them for a period because of that. I mean, the board's order was entered at a certain point in time.
Well, that's why I said the maximum that they actually were really late was 60 days, because they weren't, I didn't think that the code board was retroactive.
The asbestos report took an extra 30, delay of 30 days, so really 30 days later than it should have from the date of our order, if you want to give them that, so.
Well, I'm just looking at the 124 days of non-compliant, what is that, where are we?
Yeah, because that would put us all the way out to March.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, I didn't see.
Where's that coming from? Is that from the order date or from the notice date? That would be from the first order. There was an order.
So 10/13?
But that's not.
There was a previous order for the cutting and cleaning of the lawn. Oh, okay. That started back in April of 2011. Okay, I think that's what.
But like I said, I mean, to expedite this matter, the city is willing to. I just don't want it to be, well, we didn't do anything until September, because we didn't. We worked from April of last year.
Right.
And then they got involved in September. I'm assuming the landowner contacted them at the later period of time when they received notice of hearing. But we weren't getting the initial cooperation that we would like to have received.
But the main thing is that it's in compliance now.
It is, absolutely. And they do have a good working relationship with the officer who is now, they are now taking care of it, so we're good to go.
I just want to make clear that there was an order, there was two orders, and so the 124 days goes back to the first order when it was not.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not weighing in on the merits of their petition. I'm just trying to make sure legally whatever y'all do is.
I'm just gonna say what I think, and then we can have some discussion amongst the board. I think that we definitely should recover the city's costs. That's mm-hmm. beyond question. I also think that since I'm saying 30 days,
and something.
And if we reduced it to 30 times 50, so 1,500 plus the cost of the city. Pay within, what, 15 days or 14 days? I'm not sure what our usual time is.
You might ask them, they might have complications with contracting.
Yeah, either way, you're going to have to.
Whatever your directive, I mean, as I say, when we got the bill for the administrative charges for the $218, that was taken care of immediately.
Okay.
And we thought that was resolving everything. Right. At the time, because, based on the communication we had. So we felt like we brought everything into compliance as requested. And had we been notified, and again, I don't know what the powers of code enforcement, I realize they can't hold our hand, but had we known that we still weren't in compliance at the time, I'm sure we would have tried to do everything we could. But as Laura pointed out, there were circumstances beyond our control when it came to tearing down the building.
So,
can I ask one more question? Make sure I'm not trying to.
Yeah.
Y'all went out and voted and asked yourself as a result of the first order?
That's for the $1,800.
Okay. Once they mowed, once y'all mowed the grass and spent the $1,800, even if they knew about it, wanted to comply with the order, couldn't have because y'all had already done it for them.
The first part.
Okay.
Yeah.
The part was filling, I guess.
Right.
And we were unaware of this other part. And again, I was not here because I had another meeting at that October 13th meeting. But had that been an issue, I don't know if that was brought up at the time. We were going by exactly what happened on the 13th.
Well, I mean, I even entertained them maybe doing away with the fine as long as they paid the city's costs.
Yeah, I think that would be reasonable because there seems to be a little bit of miscommunication on both sides.
It says in property has been cut, but buildings remain in July. And June, no change contacting Diane, the agent for the property, will give one more week for compliance.
But we didn't put the order in until October.
Right.
So we gotta go back.
So we delayed doing what we should have done.
But even then, they had 30 days, and even getting them 60 days for the asbestos, it's still late.
I think there was enough mishap there just to go with the city's cost.
The goal was the compliance, and they seem to have a good working relationship with the city now. So I think as long as we cover the city's costs, say within 14 days.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Motion by Latricia, second by Giorgio. All in favor?
Aye.
So as far as that cost, will we be billed that, or the property owner be billed that, or how will that work?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it passed 5-1, so basically the amount, sir, basically the amount is gonna be $1,881.36. That has to be to the city within 14 days.
Okay.
And otherwise, it reverts back to the full amount.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, have a nice evening.
Uh-oh.
Seeing no other respondents, we can go to page 2 of the agenda.
You wanna ask that, Chip?
I'm sorry, sir?
You say the case?
Page 2 of the agenda, and it'll be case CON-120344.
Oh, the first one.
The city will be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator. This is a case involving Officer Raymond Furring of the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division and City of Ocala versus J&amp;M Acquisition and Sales, Inc., a location within the City of Ocala, 848 Northwest 5th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2571-008-005. I would report that all certified mail has been returned in this case. The city posted the property on 3/10/2012 for the NOV and 3/27/2012 for the notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence in your case, I've included a copy of the findings of facts and the affidavit of non-compliance and a copy of the Sunbiz report. At the end of your presentation, we have included photographs of the property and its current condition, as photographed by the inspector at the last time yesterday afternoon at about 1:46, 1:45. The summary of findings that Officer Raymond Furring located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed the respondent's case in 2010 was brought before the CEB and found guilty for violation of Code Section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. All attempts by Officer Furring to have the respondents remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Officer Furring is here and prepared to answer any questions that you may have concerning this case this evening. The summary or the staff recommendation would be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495 as a repeat violator per Chapter 162.04 Florida statutes in order then to 1. Cut and clean up their property and properly remove any junk and debris. 2. Pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day, and the city to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. I would point out that the respondent is not here at the city.
Okay. Patricia's found something here that says that J&M Acquisitions and Sales is inactive.
Yep. They're inactive. They're still in the MPCA data, though. They just haven't renewed their Sunbiz report. I'm assuming that they might have gone out of business.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Some folks don't, but they're still responsible for the property.
Okay. For future cases, if they're not here, and then you don't have to read the staff recommendation.
I was doing that because we have a potential board member who's sitting in this evening.
Oh.
But.
All right, so we don't have no one here to represent J&M Acquisitions and Sales?
No.
Let the record reflect that there's no one present.
Make a motion that we accept the staff recommendation.
Motion by Giorgio, second by Donald, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Pass unanimous.
Moving along in the agenda, at the bottom of page 2, CUM 120351. It's a case involving Officer Raymond Furring, the City of Ocala versus Tabernacle of Deliverance, the 900 block of Northwest First Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of section 3495, accumulation of trash and other weeds, accumulation of trash and other unsightly and sanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2844-029-014. All certified mail has been returned. We posted the property on 3/14/2012 for the notice of violation and 4/5/2012 for the notice of hearing. As part of your correspondence, we've included a copy of the business SunBiz report and a summary of findings that Officer Raymond Furring located this property and served the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. All attempts by Officer Furring to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. We have a copy of the staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of the presentation, and we have photographs of the property as it exists out there now at the end of your presentation.
Right.
I would point out that there is no respondent here.
Okay.
I propose there's we take staff recommendation.
A motion by Donald. Do we have a second?
I'll second. Motion.
Second by Albertine. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Pass unanimous.
That brings us to the next case on the agenda at the top of page 3, the City of Ocala versus, I apologize, COM 11-2944. The City of Ocala versus Darrell Mills, a case involving Officer Matthew Lightfried, a location in 2120 Northwest 4th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 82-181, the definition of a dangerous structure, and Section 82-182, dangerous building declared a nuisance, abatement required. The parcel ID is 2260-166-009. Legal services obtained on 1/7/2012 for the notice of violation and 2/18/2012 for the notice of hearing. We post the property on 12/20/2012 for the NOV, 12/17/2012 for the notice of hearing, and 4/24/2012 for the revised notice of hearing. Additional correspondence would be application for a demolition permit, and they would be required to have a permit to demolish. The summary of findings that Officer Matthew Lightfried initially responded to this location to an email from staff regarding the demolition sheet that had been open since 2009. Upon arrival, Officer Lightfried observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is a dangerous structure. The structure is dangerous due to its dilapidated condition. Additionally, Officer Lightfried attempted to work with the respondent to obtain a complete demolition permit. However, no permit was ever completed. All attempts by Officer Lightfried to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. We do have photographs of the violation. At the end of your presentation, you'll see that the house is in pretty bad condition there.
So they didn't do a structural evaluation?
No, sir. Actually, the building inspector said zero. No paperwork required. Quote.
Is there anyone here representing Darrell Mills? Let the record reflect that there's no one here to represent the respondent. Do we have a discussion and a motion?
Motion. To accept the staff recommendation.
We have the motion to accept staff recommendation by Giorgio and a second by Latricia. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Pass unanimous.
I'll bring this next case in the agenda, CUN 120468, a case of City of Ocala, Officer Matthew Lightfried versus Anastasia Jerome, a location of 600 Northwest 6th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2865-004-002. All certified mail has been returned. We posted the property on 3/19/2012 for the notice of violation and 3/29/2012 for the notice of hearing. The summary of findings that Officer Matthew Lightfried located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that is overgrown and contains junk and debris. All attempts by Officer Lockreed to have the respondents remedy all violations have not been successful, and the violation remains. We have a staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation. We also have photographs of the property in question. At the end of your presentation, Officer Lockreed is prepared to answer any questions, and I would point out that there is no respondent available.
Looks like they picked up the tire in the...
I think it grew in.
Well, they should also, your little sign's gone, too.
Yeah, sometimes people collect those for some reason.
They look great, though.
Put them in other people's cars.
That's actually a good idea.
We also had a decomposing dog out there that we'd like to get cleaned up.
Charming.
I propose a motion we accept staff recommendation.
I have a motion by Donald, second by Danielle. All in favor?
Aye.
Pass unanimous.
That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda, CUN 120666.
Ooh.
I had a feeling we were going to get that response. We'll be proceeding in this case this evening as a repeat violator. This is a case involving Officer Matthew Lightfried, City of Ocala versus Jeanette M. Banks, a location at 2008 Northwest 7th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly sanitary matter. Section 82181, the definition of a dangerous structure. And Section 82182, a dangerous building declared a nuisance abatement required. The parcel ID is 22694-000-00. All certified mail has been returned. This is a repeat violator. We posted the property on 3/30/2012 with a notice of hearing. We've included as additional correspondence the affidavit of noncompliance and the findings of fact in the first case. We would also require a permit to demolish the structure. You all may be familiar with this. This green structure that you're seeing is the barn that was behind the white structure that was in front that burned down. And the lady wanted to tear it down herself. She came before the board many times. She was essentially moving about one nail a week.
Yeah, the older lady.
Ended up cleaning it up for her. Well, now the back half of her property.
Did she die?
She did pass away.
That's
and
what
she
thought.
Left
yeah.
This to heirs, and now they're not taking care of it.
One nail at a time.
Officer Matthew Lightfried located this property, observed the property is in violation of the city's code in that it is overgrown and has a dangerous and unsecured structure. The structure is dangerous due to its unsecure and dilapidated condition. Additional investigation revealed the respondent has had many other cases, the last in 2008, which was brought before the CEB, and found guilty on code sections 3495, 82181, 82182, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. All attempts by Officer Lightfried to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Part of your presentation would include photographs of the condition out there now. The part we initially cleaned up is still cleaning up.
I know that, we can look at some of these buildings and, see that they don't really need a report to declare them, and we should tear them down, but as a part of the process, we have to have it, have that structural evaluation.
We don't have to have a structural. We include that when we are doing residences and built in occupied buildings for you. This is a barn structure. It's open, unsecured.
I just didn't know if it was something we had to have, regardless of what it's the obvious.
No, sir. We also fall in the fact that it's contributing to the slum and blight of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Transient activity and what have you are in that structure and removing everything from the structure.
Right. Just want to make sure the process is
yes.
Correct. Okay. All right. Anyone here to represent Jeanette M. Banks? Let the record reflect that no one's here to represent the respondent. Any discussion?
I propose a motion to accept staff recommendation.
A motion by Don.
One second.
Second by Danielle. All in favor?
Aye.
Pass unanimous.
That brings us to the bottom of page 3 of the agenda, CUN 120668. We're proceeding in this case as a repeat violator. It's a case involving Officer Matthew Lightfried, the City of Ocala, versus 1617 Northwest 1st Avenue Land Trust, Shirley T. Trust. A location at 1617 Northwest 1st Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. This is for a violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and unsanitary matter, Section 82181, the definition of a dangerous structure, and Section 82182, dangerous building declared a nuisance abatement required. The parcel ID is 25795-000-00. We posted the property on 3/29/2012 for the notice of hearing. This structure scored a score of 55 and dilapidated by Inspector David Thompson. As part of your additional correspondence, we've included affidavits of partial compliance from the first order of the board and the findings of fact in the first case, email of the electric and water consumption at the site, and, of course, permit to repair or demolish the structure as necessary. Officer Matthew Leibfried responded to this location due to citizen's complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it contains junk and debris. It is overgrown and unsecured. Additional investigation revealed the respondent has had many other cases. In 2010, the respondent was brought before the CEB and found guilty for violation of Section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. Additionally, Officer Leifrey requested a structural evaluation. This is the second one. It's getting worse each time it comes up. And our Inspector David Thompson responded, completing the inspection, which resulted in this 55 points and deteriorated. All attempts by Officer Leifrey to have a respondent remedy all violations have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff has included a copy of the staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your form, and I would just say that this is a property that we continue to have problems at. At this time, they're allegedly renting to a person. We can't get the respondent to talk with us at all, so we don't know if this person's squatting in there or if they are actually paying rent. This is what continues to happen there. They had a fence up. The fence keeps getting torn down. They don't inspect or manage the property very well. So we have windows that aren't in and stuff that's being broken out, continuing transit activity. And like I said, we can't determine who's in there now. We also have a number of standard housing code violations, which were also determined under this recent inspection. Mm-hmm. It's still boarded up from where we boarded it from your last order, but they've taken some of the ports down, and somebody's in and out of there.
That's right. Water heater.
Yeah, interesting.
Choice.
Yeah, we'll be bringing that back for a violation of standard housing.
What about the dog?
If they can
take care of
that. We did do, when we were out there today, we made sure that the dog had water, and the person that's currently in the structure said, oh, that dog's well taken care of. So
yeah,
we will monitor.
No, doesn't look too upset to see you.
He's
even
hard. Happy to see all
folks.
Yeah.
All right, is there anyone here to represent 1617 Northwest First Avenue Land Trust?
And that name, Shirley T. Trust, might be also familiar to you.
Yeah.
Let the record reflect if response not present.
Any motion, we accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Giorgio, do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Albertine. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Pass unanimous.
That'll bring us to the top of page 4 of your agenda, COM 110038. It's in the petition section.
It's good.
Of your documentation. This is a petition from Florida Income Low Income Housing. The city would respectfully request a motion to accept their petition, granting them additional time. They're working out a deal with the city where we're going to help them with the demolition. This is their third extension. They had quite a few problems here.
Wow.
If you remember, this is the old Carver store, and it's a historic location for the city in the historic district. So we wanted to take every step that we could to try to save the structure. They have since had a structural evaluation done by experts at the U.S. who have determined that it would be much more cost-effective to remove the structure and build one back just like it than to leave this structure up. So we are working with them to get that to happen. And then Florida Low Income Housing is going to use the facility to train people to work in a convenience / hardware store in the neighborhood. So we think that's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
We need a little more time. The city will have the structure down probably within 30 days. We're waiting for that's
this
evaluation that we know
how to get. So you're asking for just the order of these to give them an extra 90 days?
Yes, 90 days is what we're
for. I propose we accept that motion.
Motion by Don, give me a second.
I'll second.
Second by Danielle, all in favor?
Aye.
The other petition, in the petition file, we've already heard, that would take us to old business on the agenda, at the bottom of page 4. I would respectfully request a motion of the board to accept that as a consent agenda item. I would attest that all of the cases listed there have a affidavit of non-compliance in their folder with us, and we would respectfully request to be able to proceed with the board's previous orders.
And then we don't have to read the case numbers?
We were told if we accepted it as a consent agenda item.
Yeah, that's what we were told. I make a motion we accept.
A motion by Giorgio?
Second.
Second by Latricia? All in favor?
Aye.
Pass unanimous. That's it, right?
That's all that I have. The city would respectfully request a motion by the board to accept all evidence, testimony, and presentations made this evening into the record.
I make a motion we accept.
I'll second.
Motion by Giorgio, second by Don. All in favor?
Aye.
Pass unanimous.
I would also say is, if I could speak to the board, we're finishing up policy and procedures paperwork. So I'll probably be sending that to you in your emails, if you guys could proof read it over. It's exactly what we're doing now. We're just putting it in paper, we're going to include it in our manual. And stay tuned for business tax certificates.
Oh, boy.
It's that time of year again. We're weeding through about 300 of them, so we're finding most of the people that have not responded are no longer in business. Of course, we take care of it that way. And the ones who won't respond to any of our information will be scheduled to notice a hearing.
Okay.
We'll be gentle on you and take as many as we can to the magistrate, but...
What do they do, September?
September 30th. And the next ones will go out July 1st, so we're right on top of it. But we've actually been trying to work with people. We sent out notices, and we sent out nice letters, and, you know, we understand people's situations now.
Chip, can we deal with this property by phone by John Birch?
I think that's the one you were going to bring up.
Oh, okay.
You have the paperwork.
I don't know. If the city attorney's bringing it up, we may need to have dinner.
What are we looking at now?
We had an attorney that sent us a notice that a person that we imposed a lien upon is deceased. And there was some question about the timing of the case and the lien, and between his attorney and the city's attorney, we feel that we probably need to have the board dismiss this, give us instruction to dismiss this lien, and we're going to go after the new owner.
Yeah, we're going to bring this back to you anyway with the code amendment, which would give administratively Chip or the person in his position to administratively release liens. We're having a problem more and more where it was just inappropriate, or we should have released them administratively because there's closing coming up or something like that. In this case, it was property owned by Mr. Birch, and the administrative order filing was entered on March 16, 2012. But apparently he had, by quitclaim deed, sold the property to somebody else, Brian Keith Vincent, and it didn't pick up in the property appraiser's record. So when we saw the property owner was, which was Mr. Birch, but he had already sold the property. So, and had died. Yeah, that was the other part. So when we did the code board action, we actually did it on the not then current property owner. That doesn't happen often, but when you're relying on the Marion County property appraisers, they sometimes are a little slow, I guess. So anyway, the action was inappropriate as to Mr. Burns. It should have been brought against Mr. Bryant Keith Vincent. So Mr. Gadzinski is attempting to probate the state, and now this is showing as a lien on a probate asset. I agree with him. It should not have been done, and we need to release a lien. And Chip doesn't have the authority under the code to do that, but y'all need to do that. So I'm requesting that you authorize Chip to sign the appropriate documents to release the board's order imposing administrative fine and lien dated March 16, 2012 as to John H. Birch, case number COM 11-2582.
Okay.
Do we have any objection to, on board? Do anybody want to make a motion to accept?
Motion accept.
Giorgio makes a motion accept, we have a second?
I'll second.
Danielle makes a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Pass unanimous.
We're, just so you know, and I think Chip's gonna bring it to you eventually before we go to council with it, but we're gonna, we're getting a lot, especially all the foreclosures and like on that. Y'all meet once a month and all these short sales, that people are calling Chip and saying, well, what about this, what about that? And sometimes we can, wanna have a little bit more, leeway and not hold up a, somebody's, purchase of a home or a property where they're gonna fix it up, so we can still get paid and figure out a way to do it without having to meet every month, and y'all have that authority. So we're probably gonna give some administrative authority to the director of the code enforcement board, to deal with those situations which are popping up.
By resolution, by the council, so.
And what's the.
Y'all get to look at it when it comes and put in your two cents.
It'll be, pretty simple, we'll have some established criteria, you know, based upon this, this, and this. We can excuse it and anything else. It also occurs with the magistrate because, and with you all, because a lot of times if somebody needs a parcel release, they'll put the parcel releaser as the city of Ocala. Well, we all, none of us can sign for the city of Ocala. So we want to change that language a little bit so that, you know, we can work more efficiently, where council is directed by resolution that you all can release or reduce your means, what have you. Same thing we've been doing, just gonna codify.
Here's a typical situation, y'all impose a lien on a piece of property that's clearly in code violation. That lien is a lien not only on the property in question, but all other property owned by that particular property owner in Marion County.
Right.
And then somebody else contracts to purchase another piece of property, not the one you did the enforcement action on, but another piece of property, maybe a home or something. They get the week foreclosing and they find out there's a lien on the property, but it's not because of the action you took as that property, it was another property owned by the same property owner. So then they're in a panic and they want to close and they're like saying, well, you know, what can you do?
Have the property owner pay us, pay the city.
Well, and lots of times they do. They're willing to pay us.
Lots of times they do, but then we still have to clear it. We still have to give a satisfaction.
Okay, once it's satisfied, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily.
Speaking my language, satisfy us, we'll satisfy you.
Isn't that what it's supposed to be?
We kind of think of Talladega Nights in the code.
Well, yes and no. Sometimes there's the lien on the property in question, or maybe even other property, has a significant value that we know we're gonna get our money eventually, or they just say, yeah, we'll pay it. Just give me a satisfaction so I can close.
Yeah, it's a pay.
And Chip's saying, well, we'll go board meetings in 28 days.
Well,
yeah,
well, I got a better motion. Why don't you pay us and we'll meet twice a month?
There you go.
Just expedite paying off the lien without coming through the board. Essentially.
Can that not be deducted at the sale? No?
Well, we're trying to figure out how to do it so everybody satisfied, you know, and gets satisfied, but with those situations where, you know, we know you're gonna do it anyway, it's just a matter of doing it like this one today. I mean, it was, quite frankly, I looked at it and I said, yeah, we noticed the wrong guy, the deed showed that he didn't even own it when we did it, so it's an improper lien, and so, administratively, we should be able to fix that when we notice we made a mistake.
Without coming back to the board.
Yeah, or if they paid the money.
Of course, my.
Satisfied.
Satisfied, go.
Yeah, let's get the close.
Of course, my intention was if they would've just talked to us, that we would've made the lien in the first place, but they can't always do that. In this case, he deceased, he was deceased.
Well, good luck talking to the bank, I think, you know, it's
right.
A real person, I think, you know.
Okay, is there any other?
Jay's not here.
We can talk about those guys now.
You know, it's not the local thing. America as well. JPMC.
Gateway.
Go on, quite a while.
It's a frequent flyer, Rob. Okay, is there any other business to discuss, any other comments? We'll call the meeting adjourned.
All right.
Worse and worse.
Call me or.
No.
I will.
Thank you.